Hey, I'm Elizabeth Willits and I'm obsessed with helping as many women as possible achieve their boldest dreams after kids and helping you to navigate this messy and magical season of life. I'm a working mum with over 17 years of recruitment experience and I'm the founder of the Investing in Women job board and community. In this show, I'm honoured to be chatting with remarkable women redefining our working world across all areas of business. They'll share their secrets on how they've achieved extraordinary success after children, set boundaries and balance, the challenges they faced and how they've overcome them to define their own versions of success. Shy away from the real talk? No way! Money, struggles, growth, loss, boundaries and balance, we cover it all. Think of this as coffee with your mates, mixed with an inspiring TED talk, sprinkled with the career advice you wish you'd really had at school. So grab a cup of coffee or a glass of wine, make sure you're cozy and get ready to get inspired and chase your boldest dreams or just survive Mondays. This is the Work It Like a Mum podcast. This episode is brought to you by Investing in Women. Investing in Women is a job board and recruitment agency helping you find your dream part-time or flexible job with the UK's most family-friendly and forward-thinking employers. Their site can help you find a professional and rewarding job that works for you. They're proud to partner with the UK's most family-friendly employers across a range of professional industries. Ready to find your perfect job? Search their website at investinginwomen.co.uk to find your next part-time or flexible job opportunity. Now, back to the show. Hello and welcome to this week's episode of the Work It Like a Mum podcast. Today, I'm delighted because I'm going to be chatting with Serene Ratton, and we're going to be talking all about her experiences of looking for a job after a career break, also how her career has shifted since she's had children, and her experience of marketing as well and how it has changed during her 15-year career. We're going to be talking about the rise of social media and AI in marketing as well and what it means for consumers and for people that work in the marketing industry. Thank you so much, Rina, for joining me today. It's such a pleasure to chat with you and obviously learn more about your experiences and your viewpoint as well.
Thank you, Liz, and thank you for having me.
No, it's an absolute pleasure. So I know that you are very, very passionate about how workplaces can support working parents. How did how you viewed work change after having children? Did it change? And if it did, you know, what sort of support would have been important to you?
I've been really lucky, if I'm honest. I've got two children. So I'll start with that. My daughter I had actually pre-COVID. And I was able to work flexibly before COVID. So what I was doing 3 days in the office, 2 days from home. The days I was working in the office, I was working flexibly. First one in the office.
Yeah.
And first one to leave. But I was really lucky that I had a very supportive manager and there was a very supportive culture for working parents. So I guess that guilt of, oh, everybody's looking, they're hard at work and I'm getting my coat and bag to leave, you know, it wasn't that much.
Yeah.
And as we know, COVID sort of changed everything. You know, a lot of working parents, you know, love the flexibility that COVID brought, but we're slowly obviously starting to shift away from that, which is what I've seen myself. A lot of employers are asking people to come into the office now for more days in the week. But most recently, again, the company I worked for had a very supportive culture for working parents. I had a very supportive manager.
Yeah.
My children were sick. Nursery say 48 hours until your child can come back. What do? You have to, you know, prioritize your child. But again, having that supportive manager to say your children come first.
Yeah.
And you make work around your children. That just worked really well, you know, for me. I'm very, very grateful for that. But I have heard, you know, seen and heard stories where some parents don't have that. So, you know, for me, it's all about supportive manager, supportive culture at work. And I've been in like leadership position and I have that with my team as well, that you've got children. I absolutely get it. They come first and make work around your children.
Yeah. So obviously you highlighted that as one aspect of being a supportive manager. How else do you think a manager support working parents in their team?
So I think just being really open with, I guess, like even meeting times. You know, sometimes people have to leave a certain time. So I think just being understanding and just being very transparent to say, you know, these are, I've seen like core hours, for example, and saying these are the core hours and meetings outside of that, let's try, if we can avoid them, let's try and avoid them. So I think that could be, that's something I've experienced that's worked really well. And I think that's something more employers should do for working parents.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. So you talked as well about, you know, you've noticed a shift of workplaces seem to go back to the office and that sort of cultural flexibility that we, you know, we start to enjoy after COVID is slowly disappearing. As a working parent, you know, what was your experience like, I guess, looking for a role? And if a role didn't mention flexibility, if it didn't offer flexibility, did it put you off?
Yeah, if I'm being transparent, 100%. And actually, one of the first questions I asked the hiring manager or the HR manager or the recruiter that I'd speak to is, I want to be transparent. I need to understand what's the expectation here. Hybrid working means different things for different employers, right? So it's having that transparency. Some employers are great and they say, we expect you to be in the office 2 days a week. Some don't. So for me, I was very transparent that this is a deal breaker for me and this is what I can commit to. And that, you know, people could argue that's me being selfish, but it's not. That's me putting my children first and saying that I can only commit to X amount of days. If there's flexibility on that, great, let's keep talking. If there's not, then unfortunately, I don't want to waste your time. I'm going to take a step back from this.
Yeah. Why is flexibility, do you think, so important to you now? You've become a working parent.
I mean, my kids come first, right? So I think, first of all, logistics. You've got to manage drop-offs, pickups, right? But then there's the second layer of when they've got Christmas show or they've got trips or something. You know, I want to be there. You know, I kind of think back to, you know, when I was at school and my parents couldn't come to certain events, I really sort of, I miss not having them there. So, you know, I don't want that for my children. And, you know, I want them to look forward to, oh, where's my mummy in the audience? You know, I want that. So it's, flexibility is massively important. And I think it's having that trust as well, because I think working parents bring such a strong skill set, right? You know, from being a parent and all of those, I mean, the main thing for me, time management. If you can prove and if you have that trust from your manager and from your team that I'm still going to do my job, and if it means that I attend this thing with my child, come back and finish up what I'm doing, and then, you know, everyone's a winner.
Yeah, absolutely. So you've been on a career break for a few months. Do you want to talk us through your experience of being on a career break and then looking for a new job?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've been on a career break for about 2.5 months. I wanted to take some downtime. It actually timed really well with my daughter starting school. Yeah, so I was like, I want to kind of be around for that. And she's just started year one. So it's a bit of a transition from reception to year one. I wanted to kind of be close to base. I originally thought to myself, I'm going to take a couple of weeks out. I actually kickstarted my job search prior to the beginning of September. But what I found, as I mentioned, a lot of employers are now asking people to come into the office 3, 4, 5 days a week. So where my application would maybe filter through and I'd have that conversation, they would say, right, okay, are you all right to come in 4 days a week? And I'd be like, I'm really sorry. No, I can't. Is there any flexibility on that? No, there isn't. Okay. Thank you for your time. I'm going to move on. So I've actually had a lot of closed doors because of that. And as I mentioned, hybrid working really varies for different employers. So it has, I think, even for me, when I'd look at maybe 10 jobs, oh, they've gone live on a Monday, I'd actually just be looking at 2, because 8 out of 10 were actually saying, we need you on site for 5 days a week. So straight away, I would have to filter out and go, okay, I'm going to apply to 2. And if I was successful in having a conversation with the hiring manager, you know, it's kind of then what happens is that conversation around how often do you need me in the office? And again, that's not me saying that I'm not committed. I absolutely want to nail whatever role I land. That's me saying, whilst I'm here to work, I'm also a mum and I need to get that balance and just being transparent from day one.
Why do you think there's been a shift over the past few months of employers wanting people back into the office?
Really good question, Liz. I think there's a mixed bag, if I'm honest. I think I'm hearing stories and, well, I've seen in the news and reading on LinkedIn that a lot of I guess like senior level leaders are asking people to come into the office because they think people are more productive in that physical space, right? And they're saying, well, the reason why we were working flexibly was because of COVID, and that's now in the past. Let's go back to pre-COVID, right? And then there's some people saying, we've now invested X amount in a brilliant, lovely office space. So they obviously want to say, well, why are you not making use of that? And I absolutely get both of those, but there's still some companies who are saying, we're remote first, or we offer the hybrid and remote working because, you know, we've seen that people can be just as productive, but actually we want that balance to now shift where it was 2 days in the office, 3 days from home, to the other way now. So I even saw like an article, I think a couple of weeks ago, to say by 2026, some employers are predicting that people are going to be 5 days a week in the office. And I mean, I don't want to think too much into the future because I'm still focusing on like right here, right now, but I'm thinking, but is that true? Does make you think, is that what's going to happen?
It's crazy. I mean, I guess some employers were 5 days in the office prior COVID, and then others, like yours, and to be fair, mine, we did have hybrid working before we'd even known it. You know, we never actually used to call it hybrid working, so it wasn't even a thing. But we did used to work from home like 1 or 2 days a week, and this was way before COVID, and it was really nice. You know, and actually, I've always been as productive, if not more productive, on those work from home days. And just
I'm the same. Things. I'm exactly the same. And I think back to before I had my daughter, I was, you know, up until 2 weeks before I gave birth, I was doing 5 days in the office, you know, commuting on like a packed train. And my final trimester was in like summer. So getting on like a hot train and like full term pregnancy. And now I think back and yeah, it's crazy. But then I think, again, it's one of those. I think this theory does vary by employer and how the type of culture they want to create. And I hate to say it, I think also it's the trust they have in their team to see if you can be just as productive with that balance. But we just have to see, because I think this is a shift I've seen this half of the year. I don't think this was there at the first half of the year.
A lot of it depends on who they employ, because when I used to be 5 days a week in the office, and I know they have recently gone back to 5 days a week in the office at this.
Yeah.
It's, you know, it's a recruitment agency. It employs a lot of fresh graduates. Yes, they need that training. Whereas when I was in Big Four, they were hybrid. It was more mature, makes it sound like there's a lot older, but the people, it was a different sort of caliber of people. The people were a lot wide age range. It was still a high performance sort of environment, and the expectations were still high. But I guess it was that trust. You know, they spent a lot of time on their recruitment, hiring the right people, and then they did seem to have that trust in them from sort of day dot. And I think that is that the time you spend hiring the right people means that you can then, you know, have a nice culture then that works, rather than hiring and firing quick, then always going to be hard to have a good culture.
This is it. And I think also like where I've had conversations with people, you know, say to me, Arena, how's your job search going? And, you know, I could sort of update them, and they're like, well, there's loads of jobs that are remote, and there's loads of jobs where like people are saying you can work from home. And it's not as black and white as that, because it really depends on what role it is, what level it is, what industry you're working in. It's yes, top level. Yes. But you've got to look at those layers that go into that, right? So yes, there are, but can I just go and apply to be, I don't know, an administrator, which is 100% remote potentially? I could, but that's not something I feel passionately about. So it's getting that balance, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And making sure you find something that's right for you. So we've talked about how the world of work is changing. Some ways for the better, some ways for the, you know, for worse. Talk to me about, because I love marketing, and I've got so into marketing since running my business. And yeah, I love it. I'm like, if I had recruitment, I would have definitely done marketing.
Yeah.
So how has it changed? You've been in it a long time now, 15 years. How has it changed during that time? And, you know, how's that focus on the consumer changed?
It's really changed. And obviously, as we've kind of moved towards a more technology-focused world, into more of a digital era, marketing has changed. Marketing's gone with that trend. So whereas it used to be all around direct mail and email, you know, slowly building its presence, we're now moving into a world where there's more channels, there's more touch points for customers, right? So we're looking at social media and we're looking at what customers are doing online, and they're being on whatever website they're looking at, and SMS is being used, WhatsApp is being used, TikTok and all these other channels to, I guess, yeah, push those marketing messages through to the consumer. And yeah, I think for me, it's just understanding what channel is right for what customer. So, I mean, for me, I love a direct mail coming in.
You know what I do? Because you don't get as many, do you, anymore?
No, you don't. But I actually think some of them are like really good. And I love putting it on my fridge as like a little reminder to be, oh yeah, next time I go here, I'm going to use this. SMS for me as a consumer,
yeah,
I love an SMS to say your order is on its way. But if I get an SMS that's as a marketing piece of communication, sometimes a bit like, I'm not sure if that's for me. So SMS for me can be a bit of a question mark, but I absolutely love where brands can really have a seamless journey for customers across multiple touch points.
What's a seamless journey look like then? So if you were a big brand, what would a seamless journey look like?
For me, it would be like if you send me an email to say, I don't know, like get X percent off your next purchase, right? If I then open up Facebook and you hit me with the same message and not something different. So it doesn't matter what channel I go on, you know, it's me looking at that. And you're
Is that those cookies then that followed you about?
And it's also if they can recognize you through your email address, if it's the same.
Yeah, but I suppose some people might not like that. Some people listen to this thinking that's a massive invasion of my privacy. You know, I've had an email. How do they know all this about me? So there is not.
You're right. Some customers could, but some customers could be like, oh, you know, this could be like attempt number three. And then they're like, actually, do you know what? You've hit me with that message a couple of times. I'm actually going to convert and I'm going to take up that offer because I keep seeing it and it's front of mind. Because it doesn't matter what touch point you have with that brand, they're telling you the same message. But again, I think sometimes you'll see something on social media and you're just like, okay, but I'm not here to shop. I'm here to see what my friends are doing or something. So social media might not be the right channel for you. But if somebody was to get an SMS, for example, and they're more responsive to that channel, you'll be like, okay, that's the best channel for them. Because I know that every time we hit that customer with their SMS, they always convert.
It's about, I guess, knowing your customers and knowing that everyone's individual. I mean, this is obviously a huge undertaking.
Do you know what? That's a really good way to summarize it. I think marketing has really shifted to customer level targeting rather than saying, let's send everybody an email, let's send everybody an SMS. It's understanding what's the right channel for what customer.
Based on their previous sort of pitch, how they've previously purchased.
Purchased and responded. Yeah, and constantly learning. And I think that's where like technology sort of going is having that real-time view of customers, their shopping. And also we're moving into a world where it's about like predictions as well and saying, you know, the amount of times that you'll see something to say, you shop this, you might like this. It's kind of like pushing them into that. We predict they'll buy into this. So yeah, I just think it's a really exciting time. And yeah, just really enjoying learning and seeing all these great things that different brands are doing.
So how are you sort of monitoring that then? I mean, obviously, you know, big companies, how are big companies, I guess, monitoring that? Like, I mean, I guess obviously they'll have every individual's purchase history, but is there like monitoring them is it the cookies? How are they sort of following them around?
We are moving away from cookies just generally, but it's understanding customers' responses to campaigns, for example, and having a view of that. You'll have somebody you can keep sending them emails to and then they'll open 1 in 5 or something. And you have some customers who you'll send an email to and they open each one and saying, well, actually, this customer is really active on email and this customer isn't. So technology is really advanced in that sense that you can see if a customer's, I mean, not exactly like which one, but you can see, well, actually, they've opened it or they've clicked it or they've done nothing. And it's aggregating that data and understanding how can I utilize this to now optimize my future activity based on what these different clusters of customers have done.
Wow. And how is AI feeding into all that? We've touched, didn't we, on AI before we hit record.
Yeah. So AI really, I think, is really becoming a big part in terms of communication. So it's feeding into what a subject line should be. It's feeding into what content should be featured in certain communications, but also that predictive element as well to say, well, here's where the customer's at. This is when, for example, I think this customer will shop next based on some brilliant analytical or data science work that's gone into it. That's two very, very smart people who sort of feed into that. So that's where it's really an exciting space, and that's where it's going into.
Wow. Exciting. And, you know, as a consumer as well, how do you think AI is going to benefit consumers?
I think, do you know what? The key thing is personalization and relevancy in terms of comms. So I think rather than just being one of however many to say they're receiving the same message, is actually, this is for me. And this is absolutely to my price point. It's talking about products I like. It's talking about an offer that's really strong for me. And actually it's landed in my inbox or landed in my mailbox at the right time. So I think it's been more relevant and more timely with the communications.
Brilliant. And I know you've recently found a job, haven't you? So what would you say to anyone else that job seeking at this time, maybe finding it a bit difficult? What would be your words of advice to them?
I'd say stick at it. I think you have times where you're a bit like, oh, am I being too fussy or am I being too picky? But do you know what? I think you've got to believe in yourself that whatever your criteria is, it is the right thing for you. And it's better to wait for the right thing than just sort of take the first thing that comes to you. That would be my advice.
Brilliant. And if someone really enjoyed this conversation, where can they connect with you on LinkedIn? Can they learn more about you and your experiences?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm on LinkedIn, and you're more than welcome to sort of post a link to my profile, and happy to have a chat with anybody who would like to know more. Or just generally as a working parent and you just want to connect, yeah, happy to have a chat.
Brilliant. Well, thank you so much, Rita, for joining me today. It's such a pleasure to chat with you.
Thank you for having me, Liz. And it's been a pleasure as well.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Work It Like a Mum podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, please rate, review, and subscribe. And don't forget to share the link with a friend. If you're on LinkedIn, please send me a connection request at Elizabeth Willett and let me know your thoughts on this week's episode. You can also follow my recruitment site, Investing in Women, on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Until next time, keep on chasing your biggest dreams.